Well, thank the Lord for this time. As some of you mentioned during your sharing time, which I enjoyed hearing very much, we're here by the Lord's arrangement. And thank Him for that. No accidents. When you became involved with the Lord, you came into a marvelous realm. I mean, it takes God to keep track of all of His children, all of their ups and downs, but God can do it. And He's doing it right now. And He has brought us here together so that we could see Christ and that we could become what we see. You know, one thing about those mirrors that we all enjoyed this morning, they don't just reflect something in a strictly outward way. These mirrors that we're talking about actually become what they're reflecting. They become what they're reflecting. Praise the Lord. Oh, so what should you do? Keep beholding. Keep beholding. I just wanted to say a little word about vision. You know, we're all concerned that we would see. And we do need to see. And we do need to be concerned. And we do need to be desperate. But don't be desperate to the extent that you get bummed out. Vision is something not like that. Vision actually is composed of much revelation. Revelation after revelation after revelation after revelation. Initially, our vision might be just like this. I could just see that brother in the booth up there. That's all I can see. But you know, as we come to the Word and exercise our spirit, as we fellowship with one another and exercise our spirit, don't just chit-chat. Don't just chit-chat. Exercise your spirit. As we're listening to a message, like right now, when we come together for this retreat, exercise your spirit. Every time you pray, exercise your spirit. When you call on the Lord, exercise your spirit. Don't get, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, from the throat up. You know, some call on the Lord like that, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, I feel like, you know, I have to put in another nickel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly.
Try Lord Jesus. Amen. Try that. Lord Jesus. From the deepest part of your being. I tell you, every time you exercise your spirit, you'll see a little bit more, 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 a little bit more. You know that old man I told you about this morning? Let me tell you another story. This really helped me. I was sitting there on the front row. I was always on the front row. And this, he was talking about Christ as our person. Christ is our person. So he was talking away, and I was sitting there, you know. And again, I have to be honest, I was thinking, I've heard this. So then he said something. He said, you know, you need to kind of bring the Lord in to whatever you're doing. You need, Paul said something. He said, I can do all things in Him who empowers me. That is in Philippians. I can do all things in Him who empowers me. The Lord Jesus in the gospel said, without me, you can do nothing. You have to remember that. Without Him, you can do nothing. At least in God's eyes, it doesn't count. But then the converse of that is, in Him, I can do all things. He empowers me. Well, anyway, this old brother was sharing, you know, and then he was talking about combing your hair with Christ. Have you ever heard that? You can comb your hair in Him. Did you ever hear that? Well, what does the verse say? I can do all things in Him. It's just your concept is, well, come on, brother. Come on, brother. That's a little bit too much. That's a little bit too much to comb your hair in Christ. I'll tell you, that is not too much. That's what the Bible says, and I would tell you, try it. You comb your hair with, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. You know, it's looking like this, it's looking like this. And instead of going like this, you know, Lord Jesus, ooh, Lord Jesus, ooh, Lord Jesus, ooh, Lord Jesus. Very decent, very proper, very expressing the Lord. But when you're doing that, you're exercising your spirit, you're seeing something. Oh my, oh, Christ is so fine. Christ is so proper. Christ is so regulated. He's not wild. Oh, what a Christ. Don't laugh. Anyway, this old brother was speaking away. He says, you know, we even need to comb our hair with Christ. And I was sitting there, you know, it's not that I was saying, what? But kind of. I was, what? Comb your hair with Christ. I don't know. I was just like, well, whatever you say, whatever you say. So then it happened again. He stopped his message. And he said, Paul. I mean, I heard that a lot. I heard that Paul a lot, you know, Paul. So I was, oh, you know, when he did that, all of a sudden, you know, you got that in your chest. He goes, Paul, and I go, So then he asked me, he said, did you comb your hair with Christ this morning? So I learned from the last time. So I didn't say anything. But I never forgot that. I can do all things in Him who empowers me. Saints, bring the Lord in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Bring the Lord in. When you take a walk, I take my walk in Him who empowers me. I brush my teeth. Will you try this tonight? Will you try this tonight? Don't brush your teeth. You know, I tell you, listen. Now I'm getting excited. And I'm losing my voice. We got a problem. Anyway, listen. The more you do things with Christ, the more you become constituted with Christ. Oh, this is part of the divine history. Even you're brushing your teeth in Him. Pretty soon, there's nothing in your living that is outside of Christ. You know, we have a thought, oh, take the shower. I don't need the Lord. Brush my teeth. I don't need the Lord. Comb my hair. I don't need the Lord. Take a walk. I don't need the Lord. Eat breakfast. I don't need the Lord. My goodness, you should eat breakfast in Him. Amen. You should have your snack in Him. Yeah. Then when you're reaching for that fifth cookie, actually, you already missed him. You missed him four times. Or at least three. I tell you, He comes in. He comes in to be the constituent, to be the element, eventually, of your whole living. Your whole living. I can do all things. I can do all things in Him who empowers me. Will you try it? How about tonight when you brush your teeth? Amen. May the Lord remind you of my word. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Yeah, that's right, Lord. Scrub me. That's right, Lord. Polish me up. That's right, Lord. Remove all of the guck. That's right, Lord. Oh, that's right. Lord, rinse me out. Hallelujah! I tell you, I'm not joking. I am not joking. I do this. Lord, cover me. In the morning, I say, Lord, I turn my heart to You. Every morning, Lord, I turn my heart to You. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. But it's every day. You're not going to see everything this weekend. But little bit by little bit, every day, every day, every day, Lord, I turn my heart to You. Lord, I like to do all things today in You who empowers me, including taking the shower, including shampooing my head, Lord, including drying myself, Lord, taking my vitamins, doing everything in Him, in Him, in Him. How about let's all say in Him?
In Him.
In Him. Him. Yeah. Don't just do them. Do them in Him. Yeah. I tell you, then you're, this is exciting. Oh, this is exciting. You think this is drab? I think this is exciting. Yeah. The Lord within me is excited. Amen. Don't think, listen, I'm a shy person. People all laugh when I say that. I'm a shy person. I don't like to speak. I'll be honest with you, I don't like to give messages. I know you don't believe me, but it's true. But the Lord within me, I can't help it. I'll be honest with you, I can't help it. You know, over the years, my thing has, you know, until now I can't deny it. I can't deny it. I can't deny it. But, you know, it took day by day by day, experience by experience by experience, thing by thing by thing, meeting by meeting by meeting, call by call by call, pray read by pray read by pray read, message by message by message, conference by conference, training by training. My goodness, a little bit here, a little bit there. Christ in the church, Christ in the church, Christ in the church, Christ in the church. Wow! How about this? Tonight, have your snack in Him. Amen. If you have a snack. Some of you, Lord Jesus, are you having a snack? The Lord says, ha, hallelujah, hallelujah, go to bed. I mean, that's what He tells me. Oh, but we need to do all things in Him, in Him, 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 right? Himself, Himself, Brooks. Him, 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 Him. Oh, we think, our view of what God is doing is so, you know, lofty. Oh, it's just this sphere, just in this area. My goodness, God, the Lord wants to get into every single part of your being. I heard a story about this old brother I've been telling you about. Really touched me. I heard a story that even when he was taking his medicine, he would pray over it. He would pray over it before he took his medicine. Oh, that was a window. That was a window. I thought to myself, my God is too small. My God is too small. My Christ is too small. I can do all things in Him. Amen. Actually, I didn't intend to share this tonight, but I'm glad I am.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I tell you, this experience after experience, my goodness, I can testify. What a Christ. What a Christ. The seeking one in the Song of Songs, eventually she described her lover, that is Christ, from head to foot. Oh, the women in Jerusalem said, what's your beloved more than another beloved? What? Come on. Why? How is he so good? And then she started with his head. She went all the way down to his toes, describing. And then she said, this, he's altogether lovely. How could she say such a thing? Oh, she became intimately related to him. She knew him intimately, oh, in many details of her life. Oh, saints, our Christ is so much. He would like to get into your whole living. Not only when you pray, read, oh, but when you wash your clothes, when you take a shower. When you shave, Lord, Lord, hallelujah, get rid of this shadow. All the shadows, Lord, get rid of the shadows. Get rid of the stubble. Lord, no wood, hay, or stubble. That might be a little too much. But anyway, oh, let him in. Let him in. Let him in.
Amen.
Then you'll see, my goodness, bit by bit, day after day after day after day after day. Don't be discouraged. Yes, be desperate. Be desperate. You need to see. But realize our seeing is constituted by little revelation, by little revelation, by little revelation. Eventually, the little tunnel vision becomes a landscape that governs us. We can't deny it. Paul said to the king, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I can't help it. How about that? Will you? Will you let the Lord in? I feel this might have been worth my trip to share this point. I don't know why. I tell you, our Christ is so much. He's so little to you because you won't let him in. You don't realize he wants to come in to everything. How do you think eventually we will become God? Not only in life and nature, but appearance and in function. Practically, you have to let him in. Don't think one day all of a sudden, poof, it's going to happen. Right, Terry? It's not going to be that way. Oh, it's today. Today. Oh, treasure today. Oh, I can walk back to the building in him. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Step by step with you, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. How about this? I love this. All of these are our experiences, our touching of the Lord, which constitutes, after some time, vision, a vision that we can't deny. The vision, I tell you, the vision of the divine history and our involvement in it. Well, amen. Now I'd like to go on. Not sure how far we're going to get. Larry's used to hearing this. He knows me. That the clock is my big enemy. I would like you to remember, saints, these P's. And in case we don't finish, I'm going to give you all of them. Do you care to take them down? Fine. Otherwise, fine. Whatever, fine. But we have a purpose. If you remember these P's, you'll remember my sharing from this weekend. Purpose. God had a dream. He's God. This is what he wanted. He had a, based upon that dream, based upon that thought, based upon the desire that rose up as he considered this. Oh, he made a will, a purpose. I'm going to do it. Purpose. Purpose to do what? To join with his creature. I know I'm repeating, but I found, you know, this old man that I'm talking about, he was always repeat. Was it because he didn't have other things to say? Nope. It's because we just didn't get it. We didn't get it. I mean, there I was, you know, did you feast? He asked me, did you feast on the Lord this morning? I said, yeah, yeah. Really? Exposed. Did you comb your hair? Tell you, one time I was sitting there. In a meeting. And my mind was wandering. You ever have that problem? Don't have it tonight. Tell your mind, don't wander. You know, there's a wonderful verse. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Is that an exhortation or a statement of fact? You tell me. It is a statement of fact. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. It doesn't mean you have to set. You know, have you ever tried to set your mind on the Spirit? Did you ever hold one of those gyroscopes? You know, when a gyroscope, you know, you try and hold it. Have you ever tried that? That's like your mind, trying to set your mind on the Spirit. You know, here's the Spirit, here's the mind. Forget it. No, all you do is, hallelujah! The mind set on the Spirit is life! Is your mind wandering right now? Yeah, you're saying that because you have pity on me. You don't want to offend me, but listen, if your mind is wandering, You just say, the mind set on the Spirit, thank you, Lord. You know, we're the believers.
Yeah.
We're the believers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. I knew a brother one time, his name was Howard Higashi. He was from Hawaii. He had hair that stuck up. I'm sure he combed his hair in Christ, but that's just the way his hair was. It stuck up. And every time he said, praise the Lord, he said it like that. You think I was crazy. Praise the Lord. His hair used to go like this. Hallelujah. But one thing about Howard, he always said, thank you, Lord. He couldn't say, he said, thank you, Lord. To this day, I remember that, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But you know why he was always saying thank you? Because we're the believers. We have this will. We have all of these precious promises. And all we need to do is thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
When you say thank you, Lord, you're exercising your spirit of faith. And all of the things in that will are yours, including your mind set on the Spirit. Are you a little tired tonight? I like that. No. You don't need to be. There's another fact in Romans 8. And that is, what is it, Brooks? Did you hear that? He'll give life to our mortal body. How? Through His Spirit who indwells us. Have you ever heard of that? That is a promise for you to claim, thank the Lord, declare.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
You see what the Lord is doing? He is giving life to the Spirit, life to the soul, life to the body. That's what He wants to do. Let me just jump the gun. That is the process of the divine history. He wants to give life not only to Larry's spirit, but to Larry's soul and even to Larry's body.
Hallelujah.
And I know Larry needs that, right?
That's right.
And so do I. Oh, saints, you know, if you're there tonight, you're feeling a little tired. Oh, how about thank you, Lord? I can sit in this meeting in Him. In Him who empowers me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You are giving life to my mortal body.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
Through your Spirit.
Amen.
Who indwells me.
Amen.
Does His Spirit indwell you?
Yes.
That's too weak. I believe every person in this room, His Spirit indwells. Let me ask you, does His Spirit indwell you?
Yes.
See what Dave said at the break. Or sorry, at your speaking time. That's right. We need to speak. That's not a small thing to speak. You think, oh, that's a performance. Listen, is eating a performance? Is breathing a performance? Oh, listen, I don't need to breathe. This is a performance. You know, I know breathing. Okay, I've breathed. I'm going to stop. I tell you, when you speak, this is a life practice.
Amen.
Just like breathing.
Yeah.
You need to declare the facts. My Spirit is life.
Amen.
You come to the meeting, you feel a little dead. How about, my Spirit is life. Let's all declare that.
My Spirit is life.
Your Spirit is what?
Life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
Not only is your spirit life, oh, He's making your soul, your mind life. How about that? Even your body. Do you believe it? Are you a believer?
Yes.
I mean, we're not the analyzers. The Bible doesn't call us the analyzers. We're called the believers.
Amen.
You have to be simple.
Amen.
You say, amen.
Amen.
Do you understand the vitamin pill? But you take it.
Right.
And you get it.
Amen.
Do you understand God? I tell you, Luther had a good line. He said, if you could understand the triune God, you have to be God.
Yeah.
We don't understand, but we take Him.
Amen.
And it works.
Yeah.
I don't understand, but it works.
Yeah.
My Spirit is life. Ah! The mindset on the Spirit is life. Ah! He will give life to my mortal body through the Spirit. Ah! I'm going to go through this yet. Well, praise the Lord. Where was I? On the P's. Which P were we on? Yeah, I skipped a process. Purpose. Don't forget purpose. God had a purpose. Listen, I'll tell you, everything, he says, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. His purpose, which he declared at the beginning of the Bible, will never pass away. Everything you see, you think is unchangeable, unmovable, unsinkable, whatever. Huh. Just wait. But what God purposed, what God said, will never pass away. What will you pay attention to? Purpose, number one. Then based upon the purpose, plan to carry out the purpose. Oh, God is not, you know, this, people think God is, you know, this all old, white hair, you know, white hair. I mean, he doesn't comb his hair. Just long, white hair. He's just up there on a chaise lounge, you know. My philosophy is laissez-faire. 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 Boy, that's bad. Boy, that earth is bad. Bring me some iced tea. Now, some people think that's God. You know, that's from the same source as the people that think Satan is in red pajamas with horns. I tell you, God is purposeful. And he has a plan, well thought out. You know, people, I told you this morning, they're like the little kids trying to get in there with the square block. They should check. They should read the instructions. Of course, they can't. But, you know, men should read the instructions. They were made by somebody for something. And they, you know, it's like when you get something, you know, you open it up and you bring it out and then they start to, forget that. You know, I mean, aren't you like that? I'm like that. I don't have a head for instructions, you know. So, you know, you just, and then, boing, you know. That's the way people are. They use their human being wrong. They should check with the maker. They should read the instructions. They would find out that they were made. Oh, they were made in a very thoughtful way. They were made with a spirit. A spirit. And with a soul. And with a body. What is the spirit for? It's for receiving the maker. Oh, you need to tell them that. As they are misusing their human vessel, you need to tell them, friend, you have a spirit. Amen. That spirit is to receive, to contain, listen, to digest. To digest. To assimilate God. Why did God plant a garden? In the middle of which was the tree of life. And why did God put the man that he had formed in the garden? Think about it. And why did he say those trees are good for food? Think about it. This God has something in his mind. He didn't build a library and put the man there and say, these books are good for giving you a headache. He didn't build a factory and say, work! Some Christians think that. They think God built a factory and put the man in there and says, work for me! Work, work, work! Sorry. Some Christians act like that. You need to read the instructions. Read the instructions. It's called the Bible. And in the instructions, you will find God planted a garden in the middle of which is the tree of life. He put the man there right in the middle. He said, these trees are good for food. My point is, this God is thoughtful, purposeful. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants. And he wants the people to come in line with his view. Plan. Purpose, plan. Of course, to carry out this purpose, the first part of the plan was to get the prototype. We took the whole morning this morning to look at that. Getting all of this, by the way, is the divine history. Starting with the purpose, the plan. That is the divine history. And then producing the prototype. That is the divine history. Oh, I enjoyed your speaking this afternoon. Oh, my goodness. One brother said, God came into history. Divinity came into humanity. That was wonderful. The angels were rejoicing. But then he brought humanity into divinity. Oh, isn't that something? Hallelujah. That's the prototype. Oh, he had what he wants. Now, this is exactly what I want. I want this. I want this. Now, I will mass produce this. I've got the prototype. I want this exactly reproduced. Brooks, Dave. I hate to put it this way, but anyway, you know what I mean. Paul, oh, Larry, oh, hallelujah. Oh, big smile, hallelujah. Jason, oh, Rob. Christ. Ah, the angels, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, his factory is automated. The angels just sit there, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful?
Hallelujah.
Oh, pretty soon, oh, there's a corporate knee. There's a corporate Christ. That's what God wants. Oh, the prototype is for that. But now we come to the process. We come now to our part. In the divine history. And as we saw at the end of this morning, before the process, there was a preview given by Christ himself concerning the divine history. He asked, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter got the revelation. Many of you picked up on that. I'm glad. If Peter could get a revelation, anybody can. I mean, anybody. Don't be discouraged. Just every day. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. If you don't have much hair, then when you brush your teeth, Lord Jesus. We all have something. Peter got the revelation. Thou art the Christ.
Amen.
Thou art the Christ. 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 Then the Lord said, oh, I have something to say. There's another half to the equation. I say also to you, you are a stone. Don't forget that word, even though we don't get to it this weekend. Stone. Maybe I'll have to come back again some other time. How about that?
Yeah.
I'll come back some other time. And on this rock, two different words there, stone, Some people made Peter the Pope out of that verse. I can't imagine. They should read the Greek. Peter's a stone. Who's the rock? Who?
Christ
is the rock, and also this revelation that Peter got concerning Christ, that is the rock upon which Christ will build his church. So here, my goodness, what is this? This portion in Matthew 16 is a restatement of the vision of the divine history. This is a statement of the vision of the divine history by the Lord himself, now including our part. Christ, that's his part. Church, that's our part. Oh, we're included.
Amen.
We're included. Amen. God didn't have to do that. God could just say, well, I'll take care of this, but my saints, we've been included.
Amen.
We've been included.
Amen.
Oh, the divine history includes us. We have a share.
Amen.
Let's all declare, as the believers by faith, I have a share in the divine history.
Amen. I have a share in the divine history.
How about thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
I have a share.
I have a share
in the divine history.
Divine history.
It's not just Christ. You don't have to. I love your spirit. All of you. It is not just Christ. It is the church. It's the church. Christ and the church. This is what God saw. Ah, a great person. God and man. Christ and the church. The head and the body. Oh, the vine and the branches. Call it what you want. This is what God saw. Ah, the bride and the bridegroom. Oh, many ways in the New Testament to describe this marvelous entity. It's God, it's man, it's God and man. Mingle together, join together, mingle together, incorporate it together. We were having our dinner out here. And I was telling the brothers, there is a verse, the last verse in the book of Ezekiel. Did you ever read Ezekiel? Larry says he did. How many have read Ezekiel? Not bad. How many read through Leviticus? Wow. You know, usually I used to try and read the Bible. Genesis, wonderful. Exodus, wonderful. Leviticus, you know, like you get caught in snow. I'll try again in 3 months. But Ezekiel, listen, Ezekiel, a marvelous book. But you need help to understand it. But the last verse, listen to this. The last verse of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is talking about a city called Jerusalem. But obviously, if you read it, he's not talking about Jerusalem that is over in Israel. He is talking about a Jerusalem, quote, quote, that is coming. You know what that is. A Jerusalem that is coming. Ah, and he said, after he described the city, he said, the name of the city. The name of the city from henceforth will be Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. You know what that means? It means the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Think about it. What is the city made of? What is the city constituted with? A city. People, right? When I talk about San Francisco, I'm not talking about, you know, that. What building is that? You see, I'm from Southern California. I'm, you know, Transamerica building. I'm not talking about the buildings. One good earthquake, the Lord cover me, and if that's the city, you know, the city's gone. No, the city is the people. Oh, but as Ezekiel is looking at this city, as he's looking at the people, he's thinking, how shall I describe the city? What name shall I give this city? Oh, the Lord is there! The Lord is there! That's what I'll call this city. As I look at those people, all that I could see is the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord!
Amen.
That is the ultimate in the universal great person. This new Jerusalem, that will be, that's the final P, product. The product. I'll tell you the P's that come before that, but that's the last one. The product. Oh, the product is the new Jerusalem. You look at that, and the only way you could describe it is to say, the Lord is there. That is the Lord. Isn't that something?
Amen.
What a verse, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. You know, I believe as the Lord comes to this meeting tonight and looks at us, to some extent, he could say, well, the Lord is here. But the Lord needs to be more here.
Amen.
Your spirit is life. But your mind might still be wandering. Don't forget what I said. And your body, my goodness, you know, our body. Frank's got a scarf on, I'm perspiring. See, we got problems with our body. But eventually, even our body will be enlivened. Our body will be life. And at which point, my goodness, the Christ who was in us, in our spirit as a little seed, now he's been growing. Every time you say, Lord Jesus, you water, he grows a little more. Do you realize the Lord came into you as a little seed? He said, Lord Jesus, boop! What was that seed? That is Christ. That is Christ. What a tragedy that so many Christians just keep him as a little seed. He doesn't want to be kept as a little seed. He wants to grow. Every time you exercise your spirit, a little water, a little food, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Eventually, you know, people look at us today. You know, we just look like regular people. But we just look like regular people. But I tell you, inside of us, something is going on that they cannot see. Christ is growing. Oh, Paul said, Christ, make his home in your heart by faith. You don't see it, but it's going on. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Lord, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, he's growing, he's growing, he's growing. And then eventually, one day, that little seed that has been growing, 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 it says, one day, the sons of God will be manifested.
Amen.
I just thought it was just regular old Larry. Regular old Larry just trying to get his degree. Did you get it yet, Larry?
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
A master's.
Right.
So what are you doing now?
Serving.
Oh, you're serving. But it's still regular old Larry. He's serving. Rob has one more year. Rob just, you know, regular guy. He's just going to school, trying to finish his fourth term. His fourth year, so he can get to his first term. Did you ever hear of that? Finish the fourth year so you can get to your first term. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's just regular, regular, regular. But one day, they don't realize that within, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Oh, I love you, Lord. Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Then one day, life to our mortal body. Oh, the little seed which was growing as a sprout, as a plant, blossoms.
Amen.
It will blossom.
Amen.
This is the divine history.
Amen.
This is the process.
Amen.
That little seed, Christ, now is the blossom Christ. And when the Lord, when people see all of us together, they look at us. All they could say is, my goodness, the Lord is there.
Amen.
The Lord is there.
Amen.
The Lord is there.
Hallelujah.
It's the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the trees will, it says in the Bible, the trees will clap their hands. Hallelujah. What a spectacle. The manifestation of the sons of God. I am tired of watching those baseball games. I am tired of those soccer games. I'm tired of seeing these old men fishing at that creek. Now I see what creation was for, the manifestation of the sons of God. It's about time. Hallelujah. The trees, creation right now, it says, is groaning. Oh, I'm tired of this old thing. This is divine history. The Lord is there when we're manifested. Oh, the Lord is there. The Lord, it's the Lord. Oh, just like regular old Brooks. He used to have longer hair, now he's got shorter hair. But something has been going on inside of him. My goodness, woo! It says, when he shall come to be admired in all those who believe. Amen. Christ will be admired when he comes out. Wow! Some will be very unhappy. Oh! He was in me, but I didn't water the seed. I didn't love him. So good to love him. I didn't do it. I didn't call on his name. I knew the verse said, he's rich to all who calls. I didn't call. I didn't love. I didn't comb my hair with Christ. Oh. I'm not joking. It says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth by Christians. I've got Christ as a seed in me. I'm going to let him grow.
Amen.
But we ought to sing that. Yeah. I've got Christ as a seed in me. I'm going to let him grow. Let him grow. Let him grow. Let him grow.
Amen.
Do you have Christ as a seed in you?
Yes.
Let him grow.
Amen.
That is the divine history. This is the angels. Look at Rob. Christ is growing in him. Oh, Christ is growing in him. He sat on the front row. He's been in the Word. He helped that crazy brother remember where he was. He's got Christ. Christ is growing. Oh. Then this guy over here wins the batting championship. This guy over here wins the batting championship. The angels look at that. These two sisters, I really appreciate these two sisters. My goodness, these two sisters, Christ is growing in them. Oh, little sprout, more. Eventually, he's going to jump out. This old man, he told us one time, it really blew us away. He said, Christ is not only coming from the heavens, he is coming from within you. He's going to blossom. That sower in Matthew 13 sowed himself as the seed with the expectation he would grow, and blossom. This is the divine history. Oh, and then eventually, there'll be a product. Oh, God and man incorporated. Mr. and Mrs. Christ. The bride and the groom. One person. The head and the body. All consummated. What a spectacle. People will look at that. Oh, what can I call that? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. The Lord is there. Anyway. Oh. Where were we? We were on the P's, right? We did three. I jumped to the end. What a message this is. But anyway, you got to pray it in. Remember what we sang. Pray it in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The preview. After the preview, just to finish the piece, after the preview comes the process. That is the long portion of the divine history. The process. That is the long portion. It is the portion that all what I just described is going on. You can make it a little shorter. Am I right? You can make it a little shorter by watering that seed.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Instead of letting your mind wander, water. Don't wander, water. Water the seed, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm on break now. Lord Jesus, I'm not going to let myself go. Lord, I need you. I can take my break in Him. I can take my finals in Him. I can study for my finals in Him. Oh, the Christ you will gain. Let Him in. That is the process. Oh, the process. We'll get to this in a moment. The process takes a long time. And for the process, there is a practicality. That's another P. There's practicality to this process. And then finally, we mentioned it, there's the product. There's a practicality. We can cooperate. That'll probably have to be saved for my next trip, although I'll get a little bit in. Actually, I've got a little bit in already. I got quite a bit in. Do things in Him. That's a big practicality, right? My goodness. Comb your hair in Christ. Shampoo with... Lord, get rid of all of that, whatever. Lord Jesus. Lord, scrub me. Shampoo me. Cleanse me. Get down to my roots. You think I'm crazy? You're right. But you ought to try it. Oh, Lord, get down to my roots. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, wash me. Lord, fortify me. Oh, condition me. Oh, hallelujah. That's the practicality for the process. I'm not joking. I'm happy I drove. You know, I took a flight yesterday. It took off a half hour after it should have landed. That's what I said. But you know, I was there enjoying the divine history. I didn't care when that. I felt sorry for Brooks and the brothers. They had to pick me up, you know. But I was just there enjoying the divine history. You know, ordinarily I would, you know, next time I'm going Alaska. So you know which one I took. They were late. But anyway, I was enjoying. I was waiting. I was doing my delay in Him.
Amen.
Tell you, I gained Christ and I'm releasing Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so practical. It's so practical. Life is so exciting. There's nothing outside of the realm of the Lord as far as our living. Nothing, 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 nothing. He's good for everything. He is the Christ. He's the anointed and appointed one to be your everything. Then eventually there is the product. That is the New Jerusalem. If you really want to see something about the New Jerusalem, there is a training. There is a training somewhere. You can check with some brothers. They'll tell you there is a training. And you'll find me there. And there's a class in that training. Can you imagine looking through the syllabus of Cal Berkeley? Let me see. Divine Arts. Divine Arts. Let me see. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. That's right. There's a class, New Jerusalem. Imagine taking a class on the New Jerusalem. Brooks took that. He took that class. Hallelujah. Jason took it. Larry took it. That's why he's smiling so much. Larry, I'm sorry, brother. I told myself when I come this time, I'm not going to talk about Larry's smile, but it waters me so much I can't help it. I've seen the vision. New Jerusalem. That will be the product. That needs to be the high point of your living and your work. I'm going for that. I'm becoming that, and I'm building that. Ha, ha, ha. Then your days become so meaningful. Are you catching a glimpse? Are you catching a glimpse?
Amen.
I believe you are. Well, saints, let us focus now on the process for a little while. Then I'm going to stop tonight and give you some time at the end to speak. How about that? This is a conference. That means we conferred. This morning I did all the talking. That was by design. We had to lay a foundation, but now we would like to confer. What you say helps me. What I say, I hope, helps you. You see, this is the way we see more. Don't despise, by the way, what your peers say. A lot of light from your peers. You're thinking, oh, what could he say? He just lost his temper yesterday. He gave me a dirty look. I'm not going to listen to him. You just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. The Lord's not finished with him. The Lord's working on him just like the Lord's working on you. And you just lost your temper the day before. Anyway, but he has seen something. He's exercising his spirit to say something. You need to open up and receive it. Then that also will help your vision. Your peers, let the Lord in. Lord, I'm going to listen to, brother, what's your name?
Twan.
Twan. Praise the Lord. I'm going to listen to Twan speaking in him who empowers me.
Amen.
I'm going to receive something from Twan. I'm not putting you on the spot, Twan. If you don't feel to speak, don't. But I hope you will sometime. Right? Oh, I can listen. I can listen in him. Ooh, oh my goodness, it'll shock you. It'll shock you that you saw. Oh, it just touched you. Nobody else could touch you like that, brother. I'm going nowhere fast tonight as far as my message. But my burden, oh, it's getting released. Well, the process. Let me try again. The process of the divine history, it involves us. Christ, church, church. But there's a word that the Lord used in relation to the church. And what is that word? See, Rob is still the only one. But he's a little bit tentative. So I'll ask again. What is the word the Lord used in relation to the church? Very important. Jason? See, Jason learned. I'm not going to say, really? What is the word in relation to the church that the Lord used? Who said that? That last word. Build. Build. That's right. Build. Build. The process, let me tell you, the process of the divine history, the long process, is with this word, build. 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 But let me tell you, build is not what you think. People, you know, the natural concept is, you know, the Lord was the carpenter. The Lord was the carpenter. He learned the trade. So, you know, he died. He ascended. He's up in heaven now. He's plying his trade. He's building a heavenly mansion. Wrong. I know he was agreeing with me. You know, what is build? What is build? I tell you, this is a revelation that we all need to see. Build. The Lord says, I will build my church. This is not... This is... My goodness, when did the Lord say that? The Lord said that when? 29 A.D.? I will build my church. About 29 A.D., what is it now? 2003. My goodness, this is taking a long time. Would you like to shorten the time? Oh, we need to get a revelation on what building is. What is building? It is not according to your concept. But, unfortunately, at that point, the Lord did not elaborate as far as how he would build. All he said was, I will. And what do we say?
Amen.
Let's try it again. The Lord said, I will.
Amen.
We say, amen. You know, when the Lord says, I will, he infuses faith into us. That's what happened to Abraham in the Old Testament. You know, Abraham knew what God wanted. He wanted an heir. But then Abraham took matters into his own hands. He got together with his maidservant, and they produced Ishmael. And we've been having trouble ever since because of what he did. The Lord was not happy with that. Abraham, in a sense, was building, but he was building with his own concept and with his own fleshly effort. So you know what the Lord did? He stayed away from Abraham for 13 years. And Abraham was already 86. You know, when you're 86 and God has told you you're going to have an heir, and your wife is 76. You are 86. You look in the mirror. You look at your wife. So you could see why Abraham started to think of other options. But this particular option, to exercise the fleshly effort, God did not want that. So he said, you think you're wrinkled now. I mean, God didn't say that. But it is as if God said, you think you're wrinkled now. You think Sarah doesn't look good now. I'm going to wait another 13 years until you think it is absolutely, categorically impossible. And he did. 13 years later, God came back. You know what God said? I love this. You know the first words out of God's mouth when he came back to Abraham? He said, I am. I am. Abraham, it's not what you can do. It's what I am. Then he said, I am El Shaddai. You know what El Shaddai means? It means the all-sufficient, mighty one with an udder, like a cow. Does that offend you? I find that's quite wonderful. He is the all-sufficient, mighty one, and he is accessible. I can get the virtue of what he is because he has an udder. Isn't that wonderful? El Shaddai. This is like a Hebrew lesson tonight, right? Jehovah Shammah, El Shaddai, hallelujah! Christ in the church. Amen. Jehovah Shammah, that's the church. El Shaddai, that's Christ. Forget that. I am the all-sufficient mighty one with an udder. Abraham, I don't care if you're 299. I am. I am. And then, if you read that chapter, you will find that after the Lord said, I am, 12 times in chapter 17 of Genesis and the first half of chapter 18, he said, I will, 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 12 times. I could just see Abraham, I will, I will, I will. It's like God was speaking faith into Abraham. Hallelujah. I will. Thousands of years later, the Lord Jesus says, I will. But he didn't tell us how. He left it to the apostles, to his apostles, his sent ones, to show us how he would build the church. How the process of the divine history would be practically carried out. the apostles would define how to build. The first place that we see the church in actuality is Acts chapter 2. Very interesting. In Acts chapter 2, it says that the church was continuing steadfastly. This is verse 42. You might want to read these verses later. And if you have a Bible that has good footnotes, you might want to read some good footnotes on these verses, if you have that kind of a Bible. It says they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. What is the apostles' teaching? It is not a kind of a, you know, like you go to a seminar, you go to a lecture. You're writing it down. No, the apostles' teaching was, an unveiling. The apostles' teaching is an unveiling. An unveiling of what? God's plan. Concerning what? Christ and the church. Oh, the church in its history had a very good beginning. They were continuing in the vision of Christ and the church. They were continuing having revelation concerning Christ and concerning the church. Good start. Then it says, very interesting, in verses 46 and 47, it says they were with singleness of heart. They were with singleness of heart. We all know we have a spirit. You also have to realize you have a heart. You know what your heart is for? Your spirit is an organ created by God for you to do what? To receive Him. Your heart is that part of your being whereby you enjoy what you have received. Especially by loving Him. Loving Him the best. There are verses in the Bible that tell us to love the Lord with all of our heart. The church in the beginning was continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. They were under the vision. They were receiving. And they were also enjoying. They were loving. They had one love and one desire and one goal. And what do you think that was?
Christ.
That's right. They were centered on Christ. Good start. Then it says something very interesting. It says that they were praising God and that they had the favor of all the people. Now, where did you hear that before? That's right. Remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Chaz, I think I shared that in that last class that you were in. Luke 2, 52. It says, Christ, Jesus was advancing in favor of God and man. Now, the church is doing the same thing. What does that tell you about the church. That's right. You need to read the Bible this way. That means the church is the continuation of Christ. At one point, there was one man named Jesus who had favor with God and man. Now, there is a group of people called the church. They also have favor with God and man. What the one man did, now these men are doing. That shows that the two are just one. And even the church is the expansion, the enlargement, the increase, the continuation of Christ. Amen. Do you realize, saints, what you are? You are Christ continuing.
Amen.
Oh my goodness, we can't be so calm. Oh, to the extent that He is growing in us, my goodness, we become His expansion, His enlargement, His increase, His continuation. Oh, what He did, we do. At one time, people just saw one man. Now they see a corporate man. Wow! Wow! This will develop until eventually a city is there called the Lord is there.
Hallelujah!
Good beginning here for the church. Wouldn't you say? Now I have to say something about the other guy. This is a part of church history. I would not say this is a part of the divine history. The divine history is in another realm. We need to be under that view and we need to be in that. But you need to, and may the Lord help us in these last few minutes. Then I'm going to stop. Pick up tomorrow. Praise the Lord, we have another half a day. Two more meetings.
Amen.
We can cover some more.
Amen.
We move at the speed of life, not light.
Amen. Hallelujah.
An old man reminded us one time, that same old man that, you know, put me on the spot a lot. He said, the tortoise wins the race. And this conference is like a tortoise. But we will win the race.
Amen.
The last few minutes, I'd like to say something about the enemy. Just like God is not an old fool in a chaise lounge, so the enemy of God is not some clown in red ski pajamas.
Right, right.
Like he would like people to think. He is a cunning serpent. And was called so in Genesis chapter 3. Serpent. In Revelation, he's called the old serpent. What does this mean? This means, though he is crafty, he throughout the centuries has been basically doing the same thing. At one point, he was the serpent. Today, he's the old serpent, the same old serpent. But let me tell you something. He's no fool. If you want to know what God wants, you can learn something by seeing what this one attacks. Because he will only attack what is crucial. So in a negative way, if you want to know what God wants, you look at what this one opposes. Are you following me? You look at what this one does, what his strategy is. You can learn something about what God wants. This serpent, praise the Lord, This serpent started his activity in Genesis chapter 3. Remember, saints, he will give life to our mortal body.
Amen.
Right now, through his spirit. Parentheses. In Genesis chapter 3, God planted the garden. He put man in the garden, in the middle of which was the tree of life. Let me ask you, what does the tree of life signify? That is a sign. It signifies God in Christ as the Spirit, as our life. The triune God as our life and life supply. God's intention, clearly implied by his placing of the man in the garden, in the midst of which was the tree of life, God's intention was that man would partake of God.
Amen.
And here is a little hint as far as building is concerned. After the tree and the river, eventually, reading Genesis chapter 2, you see, look at that. You see gold, delium, and the onyx stone. My goodness, that's all I'm going to say. The point now is God's intention was for man to eat him. And God, woo. And God will never change his mind.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ is victor.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We're in the light. Jesus came. You know, Jesus is God. One day he came. He came one day, and this is recorded in John 15, and he told people, I'm the vine. Actually, the vine is the tree. The tree. The Lord Jesus came, and he said, I'm the tree. I'm the tree. You know that tree in Genesis 2? I'm the tree. I'm the tree. Then in another place he says, I'm the bread of life. You see, God doesn't change. He wants to be our food. What would you say?
Amen.
You could say hallelujah too. Hallelujah! He's the bread of life. He's the tree of life. He's the feast that's ever new. We ought to sing those songs. Oh, he's food. God is good for food. Yes, God is good for food. We've tasted and we testify that God is good for food. But that's sacrilegious to say that. Good. But sacrilegious. God is good for food.
Hallelujah.
But then, see, that is the clear implication in Genesis chapter 2. Then, listen to this. Let us learn something. Here comes this serpent. The first thing he said, did God say? Actually, I've got it right here. He came. Listen, we need to learn something. Did God say? Has God said? Where is it? Here it is. Did God, listen to this, did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden, question mark, which looks like a snake? This is his strategy. Number one, to question God's word. I'm standing here tonight saying we need to declare the word of God. Then there's somebody that comes to you. Oh, don't. That's stupid. You see what a crazy guy he is. Don't believe what he said. This guy's nuts. Just let him go back to Anaheim, where all the other crazy people are, in Southern California. It's true. He will question. He will question. Do ever comb your hair with Christ? What? This is too much. Jason, this is too much. I mean, yes, the verse says, I can do all things in him who empowers me. But, I mean, all things doesn't mean all things. Very persuasive, right? It doesn't mean comb your hair. All things except comb your hair, except polish your shoes, except eat your breakfast, except take a shower, except clean your glasses, except study for your... You can't even listen. You've got to study. Forget Christ. He's not going to help you. Right? Am I right? Am I right? He comes to question God's word. We all need to see this. This is his calling card. You feel, oh, I can't make it. I can't make it. Where did that feeling come from? Not from the Word of God. The Word of God is, I can do all things in Christ. I can do all things in him. Here's another verse. I am the Alpha and the Omega. You know what that means? What the Lord began, he will finish.
Right.
He's your Omega.
Right.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
What he starts, he will finish.
Right.
He started something with you. He will finish. Do you believe it?
Amen.
We say amen to the word. The next time he comes, you tell him, ha, I have my Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
Don't bother me. He's also all the letters in between.
Amen.
I'm in the process. Get out of here. You're just jealous. Goodbye. No, bye. Am I right? Question the Word of God. Number one, I have to hurry. Then he goes on. Of course, the woman, don't enter into a dialogue with Satan. She entered into a little dialogue with Satan. Then Satan said, she quoted God's word in a sense. She told him. But then Satan said, you're not going to die. Questioning God's word. Questioning God's word. Calling card number one. I will build my church. Jason, do you believe that? I mean, he said that in 29 A.D., I mean, do you actually believe? I mean, look at the situation. Do you think he's actually going to build his church? Come on, get high tech. Be a little more high tech. Build the church, come on. Just go and meet at the church of your choice. Questioning God's word. Then listen to this. You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like God, or like gods, knowing good and evil. Here is a second calling card. That is to lower God down. To lower God down and to lift man up. You understand what I'm saying? You will be like gods. He's lowering God down, and he's lifting godless humanity up. This is like Peter with Moses and Elijah. Sure, Christ is there, but Christ is lowered down by virtue of lifting Moses and Elijah up. Are you still all with me? This is calling card number two. To lower Christ down. Oh, come on, don't be extreme. There are other ways to God. I know he said, no one comes to the Father but by me, but look at that Buddhist over there. You trying to tell me he's not a good person? You trying to tell me he can't find God? Come on. Or how about this? Why don't you keep the law? Isn't the law in the Bible? I'm talking about the Old Testament law. Isn't the law in the Bible? Didn't God inspire that? Shouldn't you keep the law? Yeah, love the Lord, but behave yourself. Work at it. God is lowered down. Something else is lifted up. Calling card number two. And that lowering down of God in Christ as the Spirit and lifting up other things. You don't need to pray to Christ. Sure, Christ is good. Sure, the Bible is good. But we also have the tradition of the church. And we also have what the church says. Have you ever heard that expression? The church says, the church says, the church says. Not the Bible says, but the church says. You know, the church is a female. The church shouldn't teach. I don't want to offend anybody. But God is not happy with that. He calls the person that does that Jezebel. Jezebel is not too good. Has anybody named their daughter Jezebel lately? Jezebel is not good. Jezebel teaches that the church says, sure the Bible says, but the church says, and tradition says, lowers down the word of God, lift up what the church says. You can pray to Christ if you can catch him, if you can catch him, but he's busy. I mentioned this morning. He's busy. So you could pray to his mother. You could pray to his, this is church history. You could pray to his mother, then she will talk to him. Or you could pray to Saint so-and-so. Saint so-and-so. What is this? What is this? Christ is still there, but Christ is lowered down by virtue of somebody else being lifted up. Calling card number two. With a view to calling card number three, which is to not only lower God in Christ as the Spirit, as our unique life supply down, but eventually to replace him with something else. Not just to lower him down, but to replace him utterly. Oh, he is against Christ. When we look at the church in Ephesus, if we ever get there this trip, we'll see this. The first thing in the degradation of the church was to leave the Lord as the first love. Who is that from? Satan. He knows what's critical. He knows the dynamic building factor of the church. That is Christ. Experienced and enjoyed by us. You can learn what God wants by looking at what this one will attack. And then finally, questioning God's word, lowering Christ down, replacing Christ, because it says that eventually they rejected the tree of life and they ate the other tree. That replaced the tree of life. This is why I say replace. Divert you absolutely from what God wants. God wants Christ, this one is against Christ. God wants the church, this one is against the church. God wants the body, this one will paralyze the body. subtly. God wants you to love the Lord with all your heart. This one will make your heart cold. This one will detach you from this Christ. That is Satan. Sorry, we have to end on such a note. The fourth thing, time. All of this served to extend his time. Do you realize that's all that Satan has left is time? Didn't the Lord judge him on the cross? Didn't we say that this morning? The Lord judged him. Judgment was passed, but not yet executed. Not yet executed. You know who's going to execute it?
Hallelujah.
You know who's going to execute it? That's right. That's right. We are.
Amen.
There's a verse in Romans that says, the God of peace will crush Satan with a sledgehammer. Is that what it says?
No.
The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Whose feet? I tell you, that is the universal great person. That is Christ and the church. We've got feet. We've got feet. The next time he comes to bother you, you tell him, we've got feet. We've got feet. The more you enjoy the God of peace, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, you become constituted with God. So eventually, the God of peace in the church will crush Satan under our feet.
Amen.
Don't you want to be in on that?
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, the more we enjoy Christ, the shorter Satan's time is. Though there's a group of people in the New Testament called the overcomers.
Right.
They will cut Satan's time short until eventually God will be able to throw him out of the heavens where he's flying around right now. And he will throw him down to earth. This man-child, I believe Howard will be there.
Amen.
Howard will be there. Listen, this is exciting. Howard will be, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah! I want to be there too.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Then it says in Revelation, when Satan hits, he's really mad. He says he is in a great wrath. Why? He knows that he has just a short time. Oh, his time now is really short. Eventually, he'll only have 7 years left. How about that? Isn't this exciting? Don't you find this exciting? This is the divine history. Oh, I want to do everything. I want to redeem every moment. I want to do all things in Him who empowers me. Oh, I want to be involved with this. I want to lay my hands on that creek. Bye. Die. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, anyway, saints, see, these negative things actually are quite enjoyable, aren't they? Question God's word. Lower Christ down with a view to replace Christ and extend the time. What shall we do? We should amen the word of God.
Amen.
Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
He is our center.
Amen.
We love Him. We call on His name.
Yeah.
We pray, read His word.
Yeah.
We love Him with all of our heart.
Yeah.
And we do all things in Him
yeah.
who empowers us.
Yeah.
Ha! He will be defeated. The church will be built. And the product, eventually, of the divine history will appear on the earth. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop. We'll continue tomorrow. How about now, Dave, is it okay? How about now we take a few minutes for you to speak? Oh, this is a good opportunity. We're not the jury here, and I'm not the judge. You feel free to get up and speak what you enjoyed, whether it's one sentence or ten.
Amen.
Do it.